When the former Ugandan dictator Idi Amin died in exile, many were surprised to learn he'd been living an ordinary suburban lifestyle. The man once known as the Butcher of Africa spent his last years in Saudi Arabia, hanging out at his local supermarket and getting massages at his health club. Italian journalist Riccardo Arizio interviewed 7 disgraced and exiled dictators in his book Talk of the Devil. He tells Anne Strainchamps about his encounter with Idi Amin.
I asked him, "Mr. President, do you have any regret? I mean, I was thinking about the 300,000 people who died because of him." And he said, "No, only a little bit of nostalgia."
What was he nostalgic for?
You know, somebody said it's good to be king.
I mean, this is a man.
He was nostalgic about also being a boxing champion. There were days when he was obsessed, and he wanted to be part of the Ugandan boxing team at the Olympic Games.
This is a man who was so powerful and had such an incredibly brutal regime, and he boasted of having eaten his enemy's flesh. And I don't know whether that was actually true or not.
You know, those were the 70s, the 80s, and the stereotype of the African brutal dictator included cannibalism. I mean, it was said of Bokassa of Central Africa, it was said of Idi Amin. One day he boasted that he ate the flesh of a former Minister of Foreign Affairs of Uganda, but then the body of the unfortunate ex-minister was found floating in the waters of Lake Victoria, eaten by the crocodiles and not by Idi Amin. So in a way, you know, he was happy to go along with the stereotype. He was happy to encourage the stereotype. He was happy to terrorize. Whether he was really a cannibal or not, I think at the end, doesn't really matter.
And so what did you do when you found him in Saudi Arabia? I mean, just meet him for coffee like a normal person?
Yes. He was living in a very normal house in a very normal street of Jeddah. And we had a rather bizarre conversation. The thing about Idi Amin is that the man responsible for so many tragedies, for the destruction of Uganda, is a man who doesn't have much to say. You know, these people do not necessarily pursue great political agendas or even great individual personal agendas. They're just prisoners of, you know, a very down-to-earth, simple political plan, which is to get rich, to be powerful, to exercise your power. But, you know, they don't have anything to say in their justification.
Were any of the visits you made personally dangerous to you?
Well, certainly Idi Amin seemed to be the kind of man who smiles at you and at the same time shoots his gun at you. So, yes.
Were you scared?
Not particularly, but yes, the man is totally unpredictable. He can laugh with you and he can next day or next moment he can kill you. So yes, you feel you're threatened by a totally unstable and unpredictable personality as his. But honestly, I found a couple of other meetings, like the meeting with Nenjamin Hoxha, the woman who ruled over Albania for 50 years, equally, if not more, chilling.
Why?
And not because I was feeling physically in danger in her presence, but because she really had cold, icy eyes, and she was telling me things like, well, you know, when a government has enemies, that government needs to defend itself from those enemies. So if we have to use an iron fist against those enemies, that's how our situation is. And the translator who was with me, an Albanian journalist, was so terrified to meet Mrs. Hoxha that at the last moment she didn't want to enter the prison cell where Mrs. Hoxha was staying. And I noticed during the conversation with my translator that she didn't even want to use her name because people were afraid to even name the rulers who were governing Albania during those 50 years. You know, Albania was the closest thing that exists in reality to the Orwellian model of society as described in his famous book, 1984.
And Mrs. Hoxha is completely unrepentant.
She is, and she says, look, you know, we were idealists. We believed not in dollars, not in rubles, not in money, not in material things. We were patriots who liberated Albania from the Nazi Germans, and then who believed in ideals. Our ideal was socialism. If Russia or Soviet Union and then China betrayed those ideals, well, it's not our fault. We kept true to the original ideology. And she says, you know, are you sure that the so-called democratic Albania of today is necessarily better than Albania as it was under us or with us? Are you sure that the people are happier? And, you know, this kind of question is the same question that Duvalier of Haiti asked me, that other people, other dictators ask me. And to be very honest, I find difficult sometimes to argue against that point, that when you eliminate the dictator, you don't necessarily eliminate the evil.
Tell the story of Valentin Strasser, would you? That's one of the first former dictators you spoke with. And I hadn't even remembered who he was, former head of Sierra Leone.
Yes, and a flamboyant, good-looking, tall, athletic officer in the Sierra Leone army who became president and dictator and strongman of Sierra Leone, you know, by accident, basically, because he was in the right place at the right time during a coup d'etat. And he was so young and so careless that he used to attend the Commonwealth summits. And after being bored by all these political discussions, he used to go and look for the nearest dancing club or disco. And, you know, Sierra Leone is a place where diamonds and poverty and farce and tragedy all mix together. And eventually, at the age of 32, he became a former dictator. He was offered a place at a university in England by the British authorities, who were very keen to have him out of Sierra Leone. And he went to Britain. And a year later, after attending university, he was kind of discovered by a group of Sierra Leonese students. He was forced to leave university and became a homeless person, like many other Africans who live in the streets of London without proper documents as illegal immigrants. Valentin Strasser was one of them. Without a single diamond, without a single dollar in his pockets, his reputation destroyed, his conscience dirty. And, you know, at the age of 35, with a past that is impossible to erase, to rebuild.
And his current ambition, I think you wrote, is to become a marketing manager.
Yes, it's the ambition of being normal. But how can you be normal when you have been everything and nothing in the time span of a few years, when you've been the most powerful man in your country, when you have had incredible riches at your disposal, diamonds, gold, minerals, when you committed or ordered crimes to be committed, and also at the same time you've been a homeless person sleeping rough in the streets of London? You know, the only thing you can aim at is normality. I want to be a marketing manager in a corporation. But is it really possible for any of these monsters to be normal?
Italian journalist Riccardo Arizio's book of interviews with exiled dictators is called Talk of the Devil. He spoke with Anne Strangechamps.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? I mean, do you know what I mean?